In the name of the creator of life resurrected and sustaining life. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Yes, one of the great things about our tradition is that Easter is not just a day, but an entire season. Yes, we are gifted with 50 days to reflect on and celebrate and encounter the resurrected life of Christ. So I say it again, Alleluia, Christ is risen. And thank goodness we have 50 days to spend with the resurrected Christ. Because in those 50 days, we get more than Jesus just coming out of the tomb. But we hear all these gospel stories of how Jesus comes to each of us, no matter what place or perspective we may find ourselves in our life. And this season was initiated masterfully by Reverend Rachel in her Easter sermon, when she gave us this incredible gift to testify to the reality of Christ's resurrection by bearing witness to resurrection in our own lives. Those stories where we've been to dark places, where we've been in the tomb or in a dead end, where we've needed a heavy stone rolled away and light to come shining in. We've been to those places, and Christ has met us there, and Christ has redeemed us. And the next week, Michael, in his sermon, called us to confess and confront our doubt, reminding us that no matter what insecurity or uncertainty we may have in our life, that that too is no obstacle for Christ, that Christ meets us in our unknowing and shines a light and enlightens us along the way. And today we encounter the resurrected Jesus through honest lament. The disciples are on the road, fleeing the chaos and uncertainty of Jerusalem. They're getting out of Dodge, and on this weary road, they encounter a stranger, and they express their lament. We had hoped. We had hoped. And this stranger, so full of compassion, exuding trust, says, gains their trust, and they welcomed him into their lives and invited them to stay with them. And he assures them of God's ongoing work in the world. From the very beginning of creation to this day, God deals in chaos. And he reminds them that though they lament chaos this day on this road, God is there working in it and amidst. Then the stranger breaks bread with them, and he leaves, vanishes. And only then do the disciples realize that this person was Jesus. And they are so transformed by the encounter that they turn around and go straight and head directly back to Jerusalem, directly back into the chaos and uncertainty, having full confidence that now they are joining God in God's ongoing redemptive work. The story today is almost a parable. On a dusty road to a forgotten town, two disciples left unnamed. It almost gives us an invitation to invite ourselves into the story, to imagine ourselves as one of the disciples, having experienced chaos, having hoped for one thing and gotten another, hoped for a revolution and gotten a crucifixion. In our lives and our ministry, we might find ourselves on similar journeys. And the disciples make this journey. They begin with honest lament. Their world has been turned upside down. They expected a Messiah to deliver them from oppression and injustice, but the revolution they got was not the one they hoped for. And fearing backlash, they hit the road and got out of Dodge, and they are still processing all of the trauma of their experience of how their life unfolded as they travel and encounter the stranger. Who among us cannot relate to these unnamed disciples? We've traveled that road trying to figure out what just happened, fleeing chaos and uncertainty, consequences unknown. Who hasn't lamented like the disciples? We had hoped. We had hoped that our teenagers' years would be filled with dances and sports and scholarships and college visits, not multiple layers of mental illness and trauma and anxiety. We had hoped that our retirement years would be filled with grandchildren and travel, not becoming a full-time care provider for our partner or parent. We had hoped. We had hoped for dying peacefully in our homes, but already we've experienced so much pain that peacefully is no longer an option. We had hoped for a healthy life, not to get cancer so early in our 60s or 40s or 10s. We had hoped that after pandemic, our churches would be robust and full of the spirit that we found so meaningful before. We had hoped that gun violence would be on the decrease and compassion would be on the increase. We had hoped that after 50 years of Earth Day, more trees would be planted and the earth would be on the mend. We had hoped. Yes, this journey to Emmaus, this road we have all been on, and maybe some of us are currently traveling. And in the midst of their lament, they invite Jesus, stay with us. The stranger who doesn't know them can offer them peace in a unique way, can offer them comfort in a unique way. And they ask him, stay with us. Does this ring a bell? Stay with me. Remain with me. Jesus, in his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, asked his disciples, stay with me. That's what we want so much when our life is filled with this chaos. When we're in the midst of lament, we need someone to stay with us. And this gift that the disciples couldn't give to their beloved teacher and rabbi, Jesus gives to them, and Jesus stays with them. Let's take a brief detour on this journey. When words are repeated, we have to explore them. And Jesus stays with them. It's repeated twice. He stayed with them. It's a rich sense of stay. It's that long term. It's not an Airbnb guest crashing on your couch. It's someone who's come into your life, who's one of you, who becomes a part of you. A better word might be abide, that strong sense of kinship and relationship of staying with you. And in fact, the other time that we hear this word stay used in the Gospels is in the Gospel of John, when Jesus is baptized and the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus and stayed with him. That's the kind of stay that's happening. That's what the Gospel writer is hinting at, using this literary device to say, this staying is going to be more than just a stay overnight. This stay is a transformational experience, a consecrating, an anointing that's going to affect who they are. Jesus stayed with them. And during the stay, he takes bread, he blesses it, he breaks it, and gives it to them. Does this sound familiar? It's right out of the prayer book. It's what we do every Sunday. Jesus explained to them, starting with Moses and all the prophets, and we have our Bible readings and we have our interpretation, and then Jesus takes bread and he blesses it. He blesses it and he breaks it just like we do every Sunday and gives it to them. And when we have communion and we come here and we can bear our honest laments, and we can bear our struggles and woes, and we can receive Christ into us. Christ enters us through receiving the Eucharist and stays with us and transforms us, that we recognize that the God of all creation who deals in chaos can come into our lives and transform us. Now, for the disciples, they didn't experience it that way in real time. For them, it was just a normal meal until after they had received. And it's only in the looking back, and it's only in the discernment with others, that they recognize, were not our hearts burning then? Were not our hearts burning then? It's in this looking back that they recognize Christ in their midst. And we have that as part of our service, too. It's called coffee and donuts in the parish hall. Seriously, it's an important part of our spiritual and community life. That's the time where we get to share and hear how our hearts have been burning. I volunteered at Laundry Love and it moved me. I've been taking meals to so-and-so and it touches my heart to hear their stories. I've been helping out with someone's kids and it just feels so rewarding to be able to heal, to lend a healing hand. I've been learning about this in one of our book groups and it's changing how I feel God's presence in my life. The worship service today was moving to me, and here's why. We get to share how our hearts were burning. Perhaps the coffee hour for you is a stop on your road to Emmaus, and a time not to share of hearts burning, but of hearts hurting. A time to share your honest lament. And if you're in that place of honest lament, I hope that you find St. Cross, the service, the coffee hour, a healing place of comfort and peace. And even if we are strangers, know that Christ sometimes hides behind strangers' faces. If you are not in a place of lament, I hope that you get the privilege to become like Jesus and to come alongside someone on their journey. And to listen to them and hear their lament and offer them the assurance that God is working God's power of creativity and generativity and peace and justice in the world, and you are a part of it. Then, like the disciples, we leave. We get sent out into the world. Just like God sent God's Son, Jesus, to the world because God so loved the world, God sends us. God sends us out into the world, being transformed by receiving Christ, that Christ will stay with us as we go out into the world, that we might bear God's message of love and redemption to all that we encounter, and all the chaos and all the strife and all the sorrow that we hold. We can be God's voice, hands, and heart of love. When we encounter the resurrected Jesus through honest lament, Christ joins us. Christ joins us amidst that lament, and he gives us assurance and strength so that we might confidently enter into any confusion and chaos and uncertainty that we have, that we can carry and enter into it and know that the God of creation is at work in the chaos, restoring justice and love in the world. And even though our situation may not have changed, it is us who have been transformed, that we might see and recognize God's compassionate, creative, redemptive love in the world all around us. Amen.